IRS on the Road, value-based parenting and life balance ideas from world-traveling family coaches. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
Well, hello and welcome back to IRS on the Road.
Hey, we are looking out over beautiful Bear Lake, and any of you folks who have never seen Bear Lake on the border of Utah and Idaho, you are missing the Caribbean of the Rockies.
It's so beautiful up here. You need to come. Just come over on the east side, though, because
the west side
is a circus. There's so many people over there, and here are just calm and peaceful. We are having the best time.
Family reunion. We're right in the dead center middle of our annual family reunion, and it's lucky it's early in the morning because we're pretty okay right now. But if you were to hear from us late in the day, any of the reunion days, you would say, are those people almost dead? And the answer would be yes.
Or you would say, this is mass pandemonium.
Right.
All of our children, grandchildren, and two great grandbabies are here. We're so thrilled.
Why do you call it a reunion? Why don't you just call it pandemonium?
There's so much to learn, so many people to communicate with and love, and it's just
an amazing experience.
We have a birthday today of our four-year-old, who's our youngest
grandchild.
And tomorrow
a year older than the oldest great-grandchild.
Right. Well, no, a couple of years, but anyway. And then tomorrow is the birthday of our 24-year-old.
Yes.
And it's going to be so fun. His girlfriend is going to come up and join the celebration.
Ooh, when you invite a girlfriend to the family reunion, that means it's pretty serious.
Well, probably not, according to Isaac, but we love them. Both of them, they're so cute.
Now, let me try this word on you. How many of you are familiar with the lovely and meaningful word halcyon? Some of you had to memorize a poem back in high school called Halcyon Days, H-A-L-C-I-O-N.
Yeah, I did too, but can you repeat it?
No. I wish you hadn't asked. But halcyon, it's hard to even define. It means pleasant in the extreme. It means not only beautiful and peaceful, but somehow vibrant and exciting, halcyon. And I want to tell you, so far today, I've had a halcyon day because I got up, got my little togs on, went just down the hill to the tennis court, and there I met my three youngest boys, all of whom are great athletes. All of them are far better athletes than I am. Two of whom were all-state basketball players who were heavily recruited. One played at BYU, one played at BYU Hawaii, the other one transferred to Weber State. They were amazing ball players. They still are. And I go down there and play tennis with them, and it is my attempt to put wily, crafty sneakiness against athleticism. But it was so fun. We were just enjoying it. And they're all so competitive that they play so, you know this, Linda, they play better when they're behind. So no one can get very far ahead, because I was playing with one of them and the other two were playing doubles, and one team would get ahead, and that means the other one would play harder and come back, ended in a tiebreaker. It's now one set all. And when we finish this podcast, we got to play the rubber set.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe our little kids and that we were just reading about as we read through some old journals are now grown up men and women. It is amazing. They have been for quite a while, too.
Which reminds me, I think we should go ahead and spill the beans on this, Linda, because we haven't even told our own family this, but this podcast won't run until tomorrow, and so we can get away with telling a secret, which we're kind of excited about and which we're going to tell the family about tomorrow or late tonight. And let me see if I could take this with a grain of salt and with your tongue in your cheek and with a little humor, but I'm going to reveal a little, and in the process of telling you this, I'm afraid, Linda, you may think I'm revealing too much, but I'll try to be.
But you always do, so I'll be fine with that.
Well, I'll say it simply, and then I'll fill in why I'm saying it. So finally, after all these years, and I mean all these years, we have made the cover of a national magazine. And I'm going to tell you about it, but before I do, let me admit, and this makes me laugh, and it also makes me feel very embarrassed. There was a time, and I don't know how you put up with me in those years, Linda.
I don't either.
But I really thought I would be on the cover of a magazine someday, and I thought it would be Time magazine.
Oh.
And I thought it would be because I was president of the United States. I was a hard guy to live with. I cut my teeth on two presidential campaigns when I was just in my early 20s. George Romney, Mitt's father, and Nelson Rockefeller. And I then became a political consultant for a few years in Washington, D.C. And Linda put up with my ego, which must have been absolutely insufferable. And my plan was to, you know, get Jake Garn elected back in the day to the U.S. Senate, and then that would pave the way for my run for Congress. I wanted to be the youngest member of the House of Representatives. What a stupid idea. And we were getting ready to run, and it turns out we would have won because the guy I was going to run against ended up in a scandal. But God saved us. We got sent to England for 3 years, gave up the political campaign, and it changed our whole life. But the reason I'm saying all that is because it kind of ties into this article. No, it's not the cover of Time magazine. But it is interesting. You know, Time is always four letters, big capital letters, T-I-M-E. Well, we're on the cover this month for a magazine that also has big capital letters. And it's called Grand, G-R-A-N-D, and it's a national grandparenting magazine.
Oh my goodness, and it's online.
It's all online.
Sorry, you might be disappointed about that.
You can't get a paper copy.
You can't go to the drugstore.
But here's the question I pose to you and to us. In the long run of things, in the long view, which is more important, Time magazine or a magazine about grandparents and families? See how I can rationalize that and say, sure glad it wasn't
for
Time.
Sure. And for sure, we are so glad that you're not the president of the United States.
And so's the rest of the world.
Yeah. Oh, man. We have the publisher is just, we've been working with them for a long time, sending in columns and so on. They're based in Florida, but she is a marvel.
She's amazing.
Oh my goodness.
Christine Crosby, she's the publisher.
She is. She has two adorable little grandchildren, and she just has a passion for grandchildren. And we actually, she's been through a lot of rocky times, and that last huge storm that went through Florida destroyed their office, their equipment, everything. And she just kept on going. So, she is really, really amazing to do this because she usually has a superstar, you know.
But we're in pretty good company because a couple of issues ago, the cover story was on Paul Newman, and a couple of months before that, it was on Bruce Springsteen. And here come Richard and Linda Iyer, who've never done anything except try to be good grandparents.
Yeah. Anyway, she's a dear, and we'd appreciate her for doing this. But, you know, grandparenting, we are so into the depths right now.
Right now.
It is so fun.
At this reunion.
I just finished 4 Grammy camps. Last week, as you know, you may or may not have heard our 5 grandchildren who were on a motorhome trip with and having such a good time. They did the show with us. And then we came home. And I got to do 4 little Grammy camps, which were so fun.
Don't call them little. Let me tell you guys.
Well, they're little kids.
I had to pick you up off the floor after those 4. I mean, that is so exhausting, but you do it so well. And these little, I'm going to brag about you, honey. These little kids come up to our house here at the lake, and Linda teaches them, I'd say, 3 main things. 1 about their ancestors, and they are so into it. They know their ancestors. They know stories about them. They can find them on the family tree. And you just do a brilliant job with that. Second thing is music, because this Grammy doesn't want her grandkids not to know that she loves music. And it's pretty fun when you hear a little seven-year-old say, "Oh yes, that's Flight of the Bumblebee by
Rimsky-Korsakov."
They can recognize classical music because of you. And the third thing is art. So you put a Monet or a Renoir, or, you know, you put a modern, you got into modern art much? Not so much, more classic.
A little bit, we did, you know.
Jackson Pollock, they can recognize.
Yeah, they recognize this stuff, which is
so
fun.
Hats off to Grammy Camp Linda.
Well, but I do feel like probably the more important thing is the third thing, which is scriptures and quotes.
Oh, that's you lump art and music together. Okay.
Right. So, but they have Helaman 5:12. For those of you who are not members of our church or have never read the Book of Mormon, you will not know what that is. But
think about shafts in the whirlwind.
And think about Christ being the foundation, your foundation.
Yeah.
So anyway, it really is so fun. And then we have a quote from each of our parents that we want our kids to remember forever.
Their grandparents.
It is so
great-grandparents, to see
our 15-year-old grandson, who is now graduated on because we stop at high school. But see him just reeling off these quotes from my parents.
It's amazing.
My darling mother, who said, "But when you accomplish the impossible, it does something for your very character for a lifetime and makes the next impossible thing that much easier." So they can just rip that off. It's just so fun to see that that's going to go with them. When we're gone,
yeah,
it's going to stay with them.
These young kids have never met, of course, those great-grandparents, but they feel like they know them because they look at their picture on the family tree, on the roots of the family tree, and they look at Grandma Ruthie and they say, "She always said to little Ricky, whenever he walked out the door, she always said, 'Ricky, remember who you are.'" So they got a little quote from their grandparents. And we know a lot of you do a better job on that than we do, but we love these little grandkids. What's not to love? Because when Grammy comes over, you send them home to their parents.
Yeah, that's true. But they are so adorable when they're working together. There was no arguments, no problem. We did separate siblings as much as we could so that we didn't have to worry about the fights, but it really has been a delight.
Ooh, Linda, I can feel the feedback coming through mental telepathy from our vast worldwide audience on this podcast, and they're saying, "How do I get a look at that grand magazine?" And you really should look at it, not so much to read our cover story, although Christine wrote it herself, and it is really, I think, well done. But you got to look at it because you should subscribe, because guess what? It's totally free. It comes four times a year, and they do a big job with it. I mean, it has a lot of great how-tos for grandparenting, and it also has some really interesting features. I mean, who knew what a good grandpa Bruce Springsteen or Paul Newman were? I mean, it's got a lot of celebrities in it who allow themselves to be written up on or put on the cover because they want to be, I mean, they like to be recognized as grandparents rather than a singer or an actor or whatever. So it's so easy to get. And I'm just going to urge you, actually, if you are a grandparent or even if you're approaching that, just type in your search, just type in on, you know, whatever your search engine is, Google or whatever, just type in Grand Magazine, those two words, and it'll come up on your screen. Click it and you'll go to their homepage, and up in the right-hand corner will be the current issue, and you won't fail to recognize Linda and I, although we got to be honest and say they picked a picture that is
for the
few
cover,
years old.
A little
it's a few
older,
years
but,
old.
Yeah.
We look good.
But there's some older ones in there. Oh, Richard, you're milking this for all it's worth, because you were so excited about Time, and now you're just okay with Grand Magazine.
I really want you to subscribe. And when you get on that, when you click on that cover art, it'll bring up the cover of this month's magazine. And up in the corner is a little yellow box that says subscribe. And all you do is click it and then put in your email. And every time there's a new issue, you'll get it. It's lovely how it's set up. Frankly, I love reading.
They do have some amazing.
You scroll through the whole magazine. It's easier to read than a paper magazine.
There's some great advice in there. So with that, we're going to take a little break, and we'll be back after this talking about grandparenting.
And reunions.
And reunions. Hang on, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Iyer's on the Road. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
And we're back looking at it. Beautiful Bear Lake. We have a few clouds today, which is a nice relief. And we're getting ready to go down and watch the 3-on-3 basketball game, which should be very interesting, because we have some teeny tiny kids with some giant tall people doing the 3-on-3. And we look forward to spending some time at the lake, just talking, enjoying. And, you know, the big deal for the women in this reunion food.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Man, do we eat well up
Oh
here.
My gosh. We have the most beautiful food. We have.
And the guys.
These
some
kids
of the guys
just
are.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Cooks.
Oh, yeah. Eli, Japanese curry is the family favorite. And we had that the first night. And all the kids, even though it's a little spicy, they just love it. They just eat it. And he had two giant pots. He said, "This is the most I have ever
made. I've ever made." And they ate it all.
I think we have about 52 or so. And honestly, yesterday we had the most gorgeous lunch. Oh my word. It is so fun. I don't know if they think it's fun, but I'm so glad I don't have to take a turn.
Well, you know, I mean, again, a lot of you, I'm going to say something here, Linda. There may be many of you listening saying, "Boy, you paint a pretty rosy picture of a family reunion. Every time we get the whole family together, all we do is bicker and talk about politics and fight or realize why
no.
we don't talk to someone in the family." And we, believe us, we have situations. We had a meeting last night that was pretty brutal. I'm not brutal, but pretty candid.
It was important.
Yeah, with people
really
saying,
important.
"Well, look, here's where I'm coming from, and here's what I think, and you know, maybe you're a little overboard on this or whatever." And we sat there and we learned a lot, didn't we?
We did, and they did, because we laid out exactly the way we saw things were going to go when we were gone. In 20 years, we're going to be gone.
For sure.
For sure. And you're planning to make it to 100, though.
Yeah,
but that would
yeah,
be 101.
Yeah.
Anyway, but we just had our couples of the family, and we just went through everything, what our plan is, how.
Answered every question they had.
We're trying to consolidate. And in order to do that, we have to get more stuff.
We have to sell the troublesome stuff.
We have to sell the troublesome stuff and be consolidated into just smaller units. And they had really great suggestions.
Really, yeah,
I mean, like, why don't you do this? And then you had a chance to, well, this is why we don't, but that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And we talked about having an auction, another auction. For those of you who are longtime listeners, most of you don't know this, but when we moved
auction.
From our main house, we had an auction. And we gave everybody $40,000 of Monopoly money or something.
Play money.
And
they could bid on anything.
They could bid on anything they wanted.
We didn't want to have to choose who got what.
Rick went around and put numbers on everything. We had two on phones, and one is still.
Yeah, who couldn't attend were calling in their bids.
Right. One is still really mad. He's calling from Switzerland. We couldn't hear him. He was bidding on the snakeskin. No, the snakeskin. We had a 17-foot snakeskin that we got in Africa. Anyway,
we're going to have another auction, because we got some other stuff that isn't
collected
assigned
stuff,
to
and we
yet.
Just yeah, we just want
some
them
of
to have
pretty
it.
Weird stuff, by the way.
But but anyway, we talked about a lot, including they one of our oldest daughter's husband's family have just walked into a wall.
Oh,
all of a sudden, their mother fell. Of nine children. They also have nine children. She's lost her memory. She's got a broken hip. They're trying to decide which
and the oldest son,
care center
who
to
was
do.
Sort of the executor, is terminally ill. All
and
the
his
same
wife.
Time.
And his wife, both diagnosed with cancer.
And
given
so these guys are saying, let's never let that happen to us. Let's lay it all out. Let's have it on a spreadsheet. Let's talk about it. Let's make it an open book.
And, right. Where do you want to be?
But it
what
was
do
not
you
altogether
want?
Pleasant. I mean, I just wanted to make the point that family reunions have high highs and low lows. And
I think thought that was a high high.
Well, it was part of it, and part. But I'm just saying, no one should think, oh, the Irons have this halcyon reunion where everything's just hunky-dory and everyone loves each other. And
well,
we do, but that doesn't mean that we don't have
that we don't have a
issues.
Lot of opinions. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of opinions, but it was really good. I loved that meeting. We had one son-in-law who was making sourdough bread in the background and gave it to us at the end. It was so cool.
But I think one, you know, we get asked a lot, what's the key to a really good family reunion? And that there's no formula. There's no sort of pat answer for that. But what I always try to say to people is, look, it's a little bit, it's a little kind of a high risk to, you know, have a family reunion because things will come out. There will be raw edges. There will be exhaustion. There will be people that have a hard time getting there or whatever. And then, you know, where do I do it? Maybe I don't have a place to do it. And there's all kinds of obstacles. But what we always say is give it a try. Go if all you can do is go camping, do it. If you can... You know, and boy, do we see a range. Isn't it interesting with all the parents and grandparents we talk to, you see a range where some people are taking 45 people on a Disney cruise or something, and you're like, whoa, they got a lot more money than I thought they did. And then you got other people who are saying, we just have this favorite, really favorite
campground
and we bring tents and we stay for a long weekend and there's no internet there, and we just learn about each other, and we talk, and we love each other a little more when we leave. So, no formula. Although you, many of you know, we do always say, and Linda is so much better at this than I am. We do always we like the word team as an acronym, where one there are four roles. We've talked about this before in detail on the show, but there are four roles that no one can play except you as a grandparent within your extended family. One is the trunk, who connects the ancestors with the roots, or the roots with the branches, and tells the stories and helps kids to know where they came from. Two is the E, T-E-A-M, so E is the ear. Just listen. One of the things we try to do, and you're better at it than I am, honey, is we don't want to be the center of attention or directing things. We want to be there and listen, hear what other people are saying, and get grandkids apart and work with them and just listen to them, the ear. And then A is the assembler. That's what you do when you have a reunion. You're the one that can assemble. The kids are in charge of the reunion. Many of you do that too. We rotate which one's in charge each year, but we have to be the ones to gather them. And so that's the assembler. And then match, the M is match. We try to match as much as we can for kids who need financial help in some way. And again, that's according to what you can do, but we all try to do the best we can.
Yeah, it is interesting how different our personalities are and the personalities they find for their spouses. We do have one son who isn't married yet, and he is an introvert, so he rarely says anything, but we know he's got a lot going on in his mind, and he is our historian.
He has all the records.
Wow, we just adore him for that.
He has all the videos.
He has access to everything.
He is, if it wasn't for Josh, we'd be lost. If someone said, what's your life been like? We'd just say, ask Josh.
Not only for our families, but for our computers.
Oh, yeah.
We'd be totally lost. So, you know, there's so many different personalities, and there have been some little rifts here and there. And I know that there are, I mean, there's the in-laws are coming from totally different backgrounds.
Totally.
And but I do have to say, everybody has their problems right now, so it's a good time also to talk about problems. One of ours, we mentioned the really terrible situation with these grandmother in a rest home, and the main people in the family both diagnosed with cancer. But we also have a child with special needs that going to college
for
the first time, and their parents are just, oh, so dying.
Oh,
is she
so
gonna make
hard,
it? Is she
yeah.
gonna do it? And you know, but this is a good time to talk about it. I mean, there are some that are working, they're going back and forth. We have a darling daughter-in-law who's going to, is working at Primary Children's Hospital in oncology, and she has to work. So she's arranged her work, so she's coming and going.
Well, and the daughter, our Swiss daughter-in-law, whose mother is dying in Switzerland, or not, maybe not dying, but who's lost her memory and who's approaching 90,
and then a granddaughter, our darling granddaughter, whose husband's father has just been diagnosed with cancer, and literally, it's sounding more hopeless every day. There's so many things.
Without trying or planning this, maybe we're hitting, honey, right now on the most profound part of reunions sometimes is just giving someone who's in the throes of a really difficult time, either personally or with a parent or whatever, giving them a chance to talk about it. And of course, people are circumspect, and maybe you don't talk about everything, especially when it involves other people, but to have a group of people around you who you know cares deeply about what you're going through,
right,
and to be able to share it, and maybe it's shared mainly with some other person who you think will really empathize, but I mean, it sounds like a cliche, but to have family support, I mean, what a two-word phrase that is, family support. I mean, it can mean anything. It can mean everything. And there's no substitute for that. I mean, you could say, well, I don't really relate to my family, but I have some really good friends. And that's great. And sometimes friends almost become like family. But to say it profoundly, like one of our grandkids the other day, I loved this because we were with this little guy, and we said, actually with a group of them, and we asked the question, are your cousins more like your siblings or more like your friends? And well, that was actually on the podcast last week when we were talking to them about that.
Yeah.
And remember the great answer that the one little guy said, well, they're more like siblings, but they're also like friends because you don't fight with them as much. And I'm like, wow, if we can be, as grandparents, the gatherers who promote that bonding between those cousins, we have done a service to them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, it's really so fun to see them progress. And I see these little kids who, just yesterday, they were just starting in joy school, you know, as three-year-olds, yeah. And now they're into high school, graduating, going off, doing their own job, their own thing. We have a granddaughter-in-law who's going to medical school at the U, and really, there's just such a wide variety of people, and kids in our family. We have to say, we have one middle child who is so unique. We all adore him.
They're all so unique.
And, you know, last night when we were talking about maybe, you know, dividing up what's left over. We've always told our kids, we're going to die broke, so don't plan on anything. And now we are figuring we do have some stuff we're going to have to distribute. And he just said, don't count me as one ninth, because I don't want anything. I don't want anything. Don't give me anything. I've always thought that, and I still think that.
And all I care about is you. And it was, he got a tear in his eye, and it got a tear in our eyes. And anyway, you get the idea. And we're not here to preach to you, because many of you do a better job on grandparenting and on reunions than we do. But, you know, the whole bottom line is just try. I think kids, even when they're adults, will always forgive you for your shortcomings. Like if the reunion's not spectacular, or if you don't have all the answers, or if you're not able to pull it off just like you want it. What they want is effort. If they see you trying to be a proactive grandparent that still loves them and tries to pull them together and tries to know what they need and tries to help, even if you're woeful at it like we often are, they will respect you for the effort.
So with that, we wish you a very happy summer, and we will see you next time.
And go to Google and look up Grand Magazine and click on it, and we finally met our goal to be on the cover of a national magazine. Take it with a grain of salt.
With that, we love you for participating. We'll see you next time on Ayers on the Road. Bye-bye.